Valley A Hill, Fishnet Maker, March 23rd, 1978, Peggy Bulger and Charlotte Perry, recording, his home in Miami, Florida.
I want to get a picture of this one. Which one did you make first? Which net?
Oh,
this one?
Which one did I take down?
This one?
That's the one I made a long time ago. Made first.
Your wife said that you dyed it so the fish wouldn't get scared?
Yeah. Well, you see, this one here
shows
up more white. See here? See the color of that?
Yeah.
Well, that's so that the fish, you don't scare the fish. You know, it's dark.
Yeah, leave that up there. We'll get a comparison of the two.
Okay. There we go. Now, when we were outside, you were saying that at the top, how many of these meshes do you have? About 45?
Yes. Well, on an average, 44 around this. See right here?
Uh-huh.
And there's over 400 around the bottom. Now, here is what makes it that way. Let's find them. You see this, can you see that now? Are you looking?
Yeah, I'm looking right through the camera here.
I don't think you'd be able to
let me
take a picture of it. But this little mesh here, is what we call widener.
Right.
You see? This puts on two more meshes every time I put on one of those. See? And I started out with, let's see now, it was, there's only about, 6 or 8 of those around the top row. See, now here's the top row there. See, and
now these little things are different here. Does it? This widens it. This little thing.
That widens it. See, this makes.
You looped an extra one in there so that when you come out, there's an extra one in the middle.
This makes two extra meshes.
I see.
See?
Uh-huh.
See, it goes on there, see? And that's the reason it gets wider and wider. Now you see, just...
How do you know exactly where to put the widener in? How did you learn that?
Well, my father's the one that showed me how to make them.
Did he make many?
He made plenty of nets.
Really?
And then he showed me how.
Uh-huh.
I made my own. And of course I was only, let's see, when I started I was making them, I was only about 15, 16 years old.
Oh, really? So you've been making them for how many years now? I mean, how many have you made?
I haven't made any in
several years.
In several years, because I don't the material that I use in them now, nylon. See,
mm-hmm.
they don't wear out. See,
I
mean is they last right on and on. You know, see what like it used to be when it was just plain cotton,
mm-hmm.
cotton thread. Well, it didn't take long for it to wear out. See?
These are made out of cotton, right?
No, that's nylon too. See, it dyed. I dyed it
uh-huh.
to keep from scaring the fish. See, now you throw a white one, real white like this is right here.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I've dyed that a little bit. But if it was white as this, see,
right.
You'd go to pull it, the fish just get like that out of money. But if it's dark,
they can't see it,
and they don't see it much. And then it's, when I really go fishing for catching fish, of course it's mostly mullet that I was catching at that time, because mullet was feeding right along close to the beach, see? And we'd go at a certain time, we'd want the tide to just start coming in when you go fishing, because that's when they go to feeding. And they go feeding up close up to the beach, see?
Mm-hmm.
Right in the low grass, you know, see? And they feed in there, and maybe there's quite a school of them. Maybe 15, 20, 20 fish.
You want to sit down? Have a seat.
They'll be feeding, and the way that I would see them, you know, when they were feeding in shallow water, why, every once in a while, their top fin, you know, that fin up on top of the back there, would show above the water, you know, when they were feeding, and their tail.
And then you'd know.
When they'd go down to the bottom, you know, I mean, their head down the bottom. See, they'd be feeding in places sometimes wasn't over 12 inches deep, see? They get that close up because that's more feed for them, see? And so...
So you'd stand, would you stand on the shore when you would do that and just throw it out from the shore,
yes,
then?
Yes, I'd come right out on the shore. Say, for instance, there's the shore, you know, see, and there's the water over here. Well, if you... To a person's advantage would be to keep something behind them so the fish don't get scared so easy. And then go out there, you know, wade out and just
throw it out.
Spread that over the fish.
How many pounds does this weigh?
I mean,
how many pounds? How heavy is this?
Oh, gee, I don't know.
This net.
I don't know anything about it.
Do you remember how many weights you put on that?
Remember what size weights these are?
No, I don't remember how
that's
long. Yeah. Pretty heavy.
Yeah,
really,
are.
I know. Picking it up, it seems pretty heavy. Like, it takes pretty a strong person to throw it.
It takes a person, you know. Used to doing a person that don't know how to do it, well, it's just gonna spread, that's all. But there's different ways of spreading. Now, I've only learned one way, and that was the way I'd always use. Now, so it was like I showed you out there.
Okay,
like
you throw it off to the side.
Yeah.
You'd take it in both hands, right?
Yeah. Well,
then what would you do?
I'll show you.
Okay, you're taking your lead rope. What do you call this rope on the end? Is that just called your lead rope or something? Or?
This is the rope that goes to
the net.
To this.
What is that called? Does that have a name, or do you call it anything? What is it called?
This. This has a swivel in it, see?
Uh-huh.
And you carefully secure this down so that these meshes don't get hung up on it, see?
Right. So your rope is hung onto your swivel, and then it's wrapped around with nylon so it doesn't get hung up. What is this ring? You've got a metal ring that all your meshes are tied to. What is this ring called? Or do you just call it a ring?
I can't think of the name of any ring right now.
Okay, well, when you think of it, if you think of it, let me know. But
yeah.
Granddaddy, this rope right here, that's what you hold on to when you throw it, right? You keep that? Didn't you used to put that over your hand or something?
Yeah, right here.
Yeah.
This okay. one holds my hand like that, see?
Oh, I see. Right. You've got a little...
And held on to this.
Okay.
This wasn't long. So
right.
That was,
it would just be coiled around. Yeah. How long is that rope?
Oh, maybe 20, 25, 30 feet, just whatever you can throw. The distance you can throw.
What's the furthest rope that you could throw?
Well, I guess when I was young, I could throw about 30 feet.
Wow.
That's
pretty,
pretty
far.
Good run, right?
But now, of course, I can't throw very far. So.
Well, how old are you now?
Oh, I'm only, I'm born 1893.
So you're what, 80?
It'll be 85 this year.
85 years young.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's great that you're still throwing. You know, that you're throwing.
Yeah, I can still throw it, but of course I can't throw it very forward.
Yeah.
And the distance you can throw them at is what is an advantage. You know what I mean, is so the fish
don't see you.
Don't get scared so quick.
How long have you been throwing in that?
How long? Well, I started in, I would say, when I was, I don't believe I was more than 15 years old.
And who taught you to throw it?
My dad.
Yeah.
My father. My father taught me that.
And he taught you how to do the net, weave the net stall.
He taught me how to knit, how to make a net. Hang it.
Uh-huh. What do you mean by hanging it? Hanging it up?
Hang it on here.
Uh-huh.
And putting on the...
hang it on that ring.
A little piece
of sticky. Is it a particular kind of knot that you use when you knot... Like this, these little knots here. What kind of knot is that?
I'm not sure how to make that. Daddy, get that little tiny piece that you had in that basket up there. Give me
that.
Can you show me where
we can order
it? It's the basket that's over top of China.
I'll get it.
No, you stay here and talk to Peggy.
Yeah, I know, but you can't get it.
BJ and I can get it. You go ahead and talk to Peggy. Go ahead and talk to Peggy. I'll get it.
But put it on top of the car there and get the net out.
Okay.
All right.
You talk to Peggy.
I'll
go
Okay. Now, this ring... First I want to know, how many strands of nylon go into the ring at the top?
Well, you don't add anymore. They're all these go right on down to the...
To the end?
To the lead line, see?
Okay.
These here, they are right there, I'll show you.
Oh, I see. And so those strings go down and they're attached. How far apart are they? How many leads between them?
Well,
it all depends on the size of the net, I suppose.
Yes,
on that one, it's pretty far apart, isn't it?
Yes, it is in this net. See now there.
Oh, wait, here's one right there. Yeah.
Well,
okay, so you've got about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Five weights between each of those lines. Are those lines called anything particular?
Yes, they are. I can't think of the name of them.
Okay. You'll think, you know, when you'll think of it, you'll think of it tomorrow or tonight when I'm gone. But that's all right.
This is
write it down.
But that's, see, if you counted these, there's three, six, Mm-hmm. 9, 12, 15, 18,
22.
21,
22.
Ah. This is shuttle.
Oh, this is your netting shuttle. Uh-huh. Well, now, wait a minute. There's 22 lines, then, and they go down, and there are about 5 weights between them, so you must have about... You have over 100 weights on the bottom there. That's... Yeah, if you've got 22... Wow, that's a heavy net. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's heavy.
Yeah.
Did you hold it up?
Yeah, it is heavy. Now, the nylon, though, is lighter than the cotton thread would be, wouldn't it? If you did it out of cotton, wouldn't that be heavier?
The cotton, yes, it'd be heavy because you'd have to use larger thread.
Larger thread, right. See? Right.
This is very fine, you know, you see?
Right. It really is. Now this little piece here that Charlotte brought in is a piece that you're just working on this to demonstrate how to do it.
He didn't find the right one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Grandma said that was it.
No, this was a piece of netting that I bought and made the net.
Oh,
you know what I
see.
Mean is the I'll tell you what it is. I could buy this netting. Store, you know, see?
Uh-huh.
And I could cut that up a certain width and put in a widening around. Now, that's what these are called now. These are called widenings.
The lines that go down?
These double, no.
Oh, the doubles.
See?
Uh-huh.
These little things we were looking at here.
Right. The ones between the stitches there.
Yeah. They're called widenings. And,
you saw them before.
Yes, I was just
looking for the widening?
Yeah.
There it is right there.
See, that's called widening, see?
Right.
And it's put right in there, see? Right up there in that. Right through that. See? I run my needle right through there.
Is this what you run through, your shuttle?
Yeah. That's the needle. See?
Uh-huh.
Let's see, I wonder if I can
widen it.
Get a just hold that apart there and then get a no, I mean hold it this way.
Okay. When you usually work on these, do you put it up on nails or something so you can hold it apart?
I have it on a loop of
A hoop or something.
No, don't have to have that. Have it on a heavy cord.
Oh, uh-huh.
Heavy cord, see?
Yeah.
I'll just put this in here and give you an idea. I make a knot. You see, I lay that over like that.
Uh-huh.
And then I take this needle and I go down this small measure.
Yeah, they are small. There you go.
And then come down and make that like that, see?
Is that called a half hitch knot? Or do you have a special name for it?
Well, it's... it's, I couldn't hardly call it a half hitch because it's,
I'm not sure of names of knots. I was just wondering if you had a particular name for it.
It has a, I'm going to take that out.
No,
that's all right. Oh, why not? An ivory chart. Ooh.
There you go. Yeah, see that. Huh. So you do that all the way around. How long would it take you to make a net that size?
Oh, this tall one.
Uh-huh.
It would take, well, of course I never work steady all the time because I have other work to do, you know.
So. Yeah.
But I do like, if I had work to do around the yard or place, I'd get to that work and then I'd come in and work on it maybe an hour or two in the evening. Mm-hmm. And maybe it would take me a month to make a net. Because you see, you can imagine what few they are at the top.
Well, didn't you used to use the old step ladder here in the living room and hang your net up on it while you were working on it? I remember seeing you with a step ladder and the nets hanging over the top of it.
Was it in this house?
I can't remember. It's this house or Ohio Street.
Ohio Street. Yeah.
You'd hang it up and leave it on the step ladder and then uh-huh. you'd come back and widen it as you went along. I can imagine it would take a long time.
Well, it does. Of course, there's people that don't do anything but that work. Land, of course, work all
they do it faster.
You know, but land, when I'd get down, here towards the bottom to do a width, you know, this far around, about like that, man, that'd take me 3 or 4 hours. Because you see it go round, around, 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 around.
Oh, sure. Well, what, how many nets have you made in your life?
Now that I couldn't tell you, because I have made lots of nets.
You have?
And, we used to have, you know, when before this nylon cord twine got out. You know, get over that. This cotton. Well, it didn't last very long. And fish could damage that net pretty easily, like cotton thread.
With their fins?
You know, certain fish, to say, for instance, fish that has good teeth, you know, heavy teeth. Well, they go in there and bite it, you know, see, and they can bite that fish. But this kind of stuff here, they can't bite that much. It's too hard. See, they won't bite it. Catch fish with one of these nets, or a little band. Years and years.
When you made them out of cotton, how long would they last?
Well, it all depends on the kind of fish we were catching. Now, when I was a youngster, I caught more mullet than any other kind of fish. I don't know whether you know what mullet is or not. But they're fish and mullet. Feed mostly on the bottom, you see. They don't try to catch a minnow or anything like that. They feed on the bottom. And, like grass, like the parts of weeds, you know, seaweed, you know, that comes up in another tender part. Well, they eat on that, you know, see. And one thing about them, whenever they've been feeding, was a little bit of mucky, you know, dirty water, dirty ground. It'll show up in the dentals, the gizzard. It'll show up a little black.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing about the mullet, they are practically about the only fish people know much about, that has a gizzard.
Hmm, I didn't know
it. But the only fish that has a gizzard.
Is that because they feed on the bottom and they need it? Or why do they have a gizzard, I wonder?
Well, I don't know. It's just that breed of fish. That's the way it is. It's that breed of fish. And that gizzard is really good to eat.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
You just cut it open, slice it open, and clean it off, skin it off, you know, inside, and fry it, and it's delicious.
That's all right. You want to say something?
Well, I just want to say we've cleaned many of all four gizzards.
How big is a mullet gizzard? It must be pretty small.
The big ones are like that.
Wow, about 5 inches big?
Not 5 inches.
But about 3 inches?
Three to four inches.
That's a big gizzard.
Yeah.
Do you fry them? You fry them probably like chicken gizzards or something.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, this net then, these nets that you use, you mostly catch mullet with them.
I caught more mullet than any other kind of
what
fish.
What other kind of fish would you catch?
I have caught snapper.
Mm-hmm. How are they different to catch? Would you catch them the same exact way that you would catch a mullet?
No, because snapper was a different feeder. You know what I mean? They'll maybe come into a school of minnows, you know, like minnows are floating, they're swimming along, you know, see? Well, they'll come in and you'll know that it's that it's some other kind of fish besides the mullet. Because they'll snap at them and the minnows will jump out of the water, see? And they'll snap at them. You can get your net over there when they're doing that, well, then you can catch them.
Well, are mullet worse on a net than snapper? Are mullet harder on a net? Would they tear it up more?
Mullet has no negative teeth.
Oh.
Snapper
do?
Yes.
So they're probably hard on your net. Huh?
Yes.
Hmm.
But this kind of net, they don't bother that very much. Now a shark, you get a shark in there, and of course you probably read about a shark teeth, you know, see? They're sharp. And they'll cut a net fish with the net from a boat, you know, let the net run out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and had a shark in that, and he would just, that shark would go on there, and he'd cut his way out. If you didn't get to him pretty quick, right, he'd get out of the net.
How many sharks have you caught?
Well, we've caught lots of sharks, but I don't know how many.
Little
we
ones?
We did more because we didn't like sharks.
You don't eat sharks? Do you eat sharks?
We have eaten sharks. I tell you, one time when I was in the Coast Guard at Fort Lauderdale, there was a fella came in that had several sharks on the back of the boat, you know, the patrol boat, see, and they came in and they'd been fishing on the way in, see, and they had several of those sharks. They were 6 and 7 feet long, and a good big, like that, good big long. And they would, they bought in some of them there, and I saw them on the stern of the boat, you know, and I said, what are you going to do with those fish? Well, we're going to show them around, take some pictures, and then we'll throw them back outside. Of course, they're dead, you know, so put them on the stern of the 75-foot boat. And I said, well, say, I want to get some food over one of those sharks. And he said, well, just go right ahead and get some one, bring it up here on the dock, I said, and go to it. Well, I just like to hear us account this as those little bat shark's body, you know, see?
Shark's body was about 3 feet long?
No, the shark was
6 feet?
Six or seven feet long.
That's a big one.
Oh, yes. He's a big, you know, see?
Uh-huh.
About this size round. And I started down there near the tail end, the end, you know, see? And would cut it this way, you know, get a hold of that skin and peel the skin off.
Cut it lengthwise and peel the skin off?
Yeah. And then slice down to the bone, you know, see? And the backbone,
just like
backbone all the way. And slice that off, you know? And I started then cutting that off.
Filet of shark, yeah.
And it was good meat.
It's delicious.
Now shark steak is good. I've had that. Yeah. I've had shark steak before.
Yeah.
Just
it's
good eating. So, a snapper and mullet, what other kind of fish did you catch?
Well, I caught a great number of different kinds of fish in different sections of the country, you know, see?
Well, listen, honey, when you caught some shark in the net, wasn't it in the big nets with your brother and
there
was
seine
nets?
Where was this? Oh, seine net. What's the difference between a cast net and a seine net?
Well, this is a cast net. A seine net is a big long net where several men have to handle it, I think.
Several men?
They have a seine net, you know, see, they'll have it on the stern of a boat.
Uh-huh.
And as the boat runs along, they'll let it go off and they'll run it around a school of fish. See?
Oh.
Like a tuna boat.
And then they,
yeah, see, that's when they got the
then
shark.
They can get out there and they can pull that net together.
Uh-huh.
And catch lots of fish.
How many people would you have on a seine net, would you say?
Well, usually there'd be two or three boats.
Oh.
Would be going along.
It's a big net.
Well, I mean,
he had two or three brothers.
Each one would have a net.
Have a net. Oh, I see.
There'd be two people on each boat, but there would maybe three or four boats, you know, see, it's going to go.
That was a long time ago when there was lots of fish.
Was this all in Miami that you were doing it? Or
that
where?
The West Coast.
West Coast? In the Gulf?
Yes.
What city were you in, or whereabouts?
Well, that was. You mean,
when you were fishing with those big nets, that was down the bay from Pine Harbor, where was it?
That was, on the Gulf side.
I know, on the Gulf side.
Well, that was, between Sarasota and Venice.
Oh.
Yeah, over in there, see.
Over in that side. And well, in the bay, you know, see? See, they, there's a strip of land going along out that way, and then here's the bay here, and then here's the mainland, see?
Uh-huh.
And this inside waterway is where they did most of their fishing. Now, lots of times we have fished on the outside, out in the Gulf.
Did you do that for a living ever, or did you just do that for a hobby?
When I was,
That was as a living.
When I was a young
fellow,
I really did it for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And, about 5 years ago, we fished for a living. And it got to where that, the price of, we were catching most of the mullet with the net. And the price of mullet is going down. Like 2 cents a pound was all we was paying for mullet at that time.
Wow.
And it just got to where it didn't hardly pay us, you know. And my dad, he had trouble with, like coughing. What was that those little hugs is causing coughs.
Nats, I imagine. Nats getting his throat.
Yes. And making coughs, so he had to quit fishing. And my brother and I, we stayed on that for a while. But we soon quit. Back to school, when school started, of course, the summertime. And we faced quite a lot of
What year was that? Was that around 1910 or something? Or how? About what time was that?
Let's see. We moved over. It was before 1910 because we moved from Charlotte Harbor over to Punta Gorda in, I believe it was 98.
Yeah, I don't know.
Before
me.
I believe it was 98. And yeah, that was before your time. And we fished for quite a while. Not far from Sarasota and Venice. We fished in there.
I bet it's changed an awful lot since you were there.
Oh, yeah.
It's probably pretty deserted over there,
Something
then.
Something happened to the water a long time ago and even killed the clams. And had big clam shells in.
Really?
And when we went out years later and looked to see if we could find any clams, and they were all dead.
Really?
What happened to that
was a freshwater storm. It was a storm.
A storm.
And so much fresh water that it kept the clams in fresh water so long that it killed
that they
the clams.
Died.
They were big like that.
Oh, they were bigger. I remember those great big old things like that.
About How 6 many? Inches across?
Well, I don't think 6 inches, but they were good size.
They're good eating.
Well,
I bet.
Granddaddy, were you born in near Charlotte Harbor, Florida? Or?
What we call Lemon Bay.
Well, now where is that?
Do you know where Boca Grande is? Ever heard of Boca Grande?
Boca Grande?
Tell me where.
And,
that's, you go to...
Where's Boca Grande?
you get on a boat at Punta Gorda and go to Boca Grande.
So it's an island off of Punta Gorda?
Yeah, it's on down.
Punta Gorda is what they call the Peace River.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And at the mouth of the Peace River, was a short distance from where it went into the Gulf. I was born on...
Well, were your parents native Floridians, or...
Mm-hmm.
Were they? They were born in
well,
Florida?
Well, I think they came from Georgia originally. Your daddy did, didn't
he? Yeah, he came from Alabama.
What was his name? What was your daddy's name?
Well, his name is Hill.
His first name.
Harvey Hill.
Harvey, that's right. Harvey. Mm-hmm.
How'd you ever get a name like Valley? That's an unusual name.
His daddy did that to him. He says, "Did you ever see a hill, two hills without a valley?"
Oh no!
Yeah, one time I was walking between my mother and father. I was three or four years old. I bought from Clinton, maybe I had an old reach hand. And I was over in Charlotte Harbor. We had moved from Lemon Bay to Charlotte Harbor. And someone says, how come you to name him Valley? And they said, well, did you ever see two hills without a valley?
Yeah, you know.
just like his daddy to think of something like that.
Well, Granddaddy, didn't you and your father plant pineapples over in that area?
Well,
you told me a story about that one time about your pineapples.
But my father had more pineapples, I think, than any of them around there. He was
from Punta Gorda too? Uh-huh. What was your maiden name?
Walker.
Yeah, we raised pineapples. and sole pineapple. We raised three different kinds of pineapple. One was a smooth cayenne, which is a pineapple. It's delicate to the sun. You had to put a shed, you know, they put up a big post, you know, and
run slats across.
Pieces across, you know, and then we'd have that slats going in. They're about 2 inches apart. They were better than 2 inches wide, nearly 3 inches wide, and they were about the same width as they're wide. And that was up above, and that kept the sun from shining any length of time in one place, and it didn't cause the pineapple to come.
And my daddy had two big places under shed and raised pineapple for a living. And mother packed crates.
Really?
And made crates. And
did you have a big family, or was it just
three children?
Did you all have to work in it too?
Well, I went up and down on many a pineapple and helped take them in, you know, take them to the back of the house, yeah.
Was the packing house a big company, like Dole Pineapple or something like that?
No, not a big company, no, just us.
Just
and, but one time Daddy went to Texas for a few, for about a month and left Mother and I to do it.
Oh.
And so we had really had it while he was gone. And she'd get up in the bed and pick the pineapples and I'd catch them from her, you know, put them down the walk and we'd go do it like that till we got them all picked. And then we'd go along and pick them up, put them in a wheelbarrow and carry them to the shed. And then pack them. And
where did you send them to when you packed them?
Well, we'd always have a market for them somewhere.
Right around here.
Somewhere to send them, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was a man he just gave us lots of orders, Mr. Carrier. Remember him? I don't remember him. Maybe you know.
Did you sell, like, to grocery stores, or was it private people?
Private people, and put oranges and tangerines and things in with them sometimes, and, you know, mixed crates, and any kind of way they wanted, you know.
How many acres would you plant?
Both ends and across the street.
Oh, this was in Punta Gorda?
Mm-hmm.
Punta? Where is that?
Yeah, about 5 acres.
Just above Fort Myers and Arcadia.
Over on the west coast.
Uh-huh.
Is that where you met?
Yes, They came to Punta Gorda to live, and we lived just a few blocks from there.
Really?
Yeah.
How old were you when you met?
Oh, my goodness. His brother was younger than him.
Uh-huh.
We had an Irish mayor. You know, have you ever seen anything that two handles, one in back and one in front, and one child sit on the back and one sit on the front?
Uh-huh.
This is Charlene. You know Charlene? And this is Ricky.
I know. We're
and
listening to you.
I can't think of your name.
Peggy.
Peggy.
Glad to meet you.
They're not.
Tell us about the Irish what?
They're not doing it now. She thought there was
what
about the Irish what?
Now come on, you're in the middle of a story. I want to hear this.
It was an Irish male. It was long enough for two children, one in front, one in back, and the levers would work back and forth.
Uh-huh.
Like an old railroad cart,
just something like that. Yeah.
I know what that is.
Back and forth on the front porch, and the younger brother would come and sit on there with us and go back and forth on that porch. And things like that. Well, he didn't. He was a little bit older, you know. He didn't do that. But,
he was the older guy. Yeah.
He was older than that. And we had fun, things like that.
Well, how did you ever meet? You just grew up kind of around each other then?
We grew up, and he grew up, and he went off and joined the service, and I didn't really know him or anything until after he was in the service. And we went across to Sarasota when we got our 1916 call. We went over to Sarasota, and a friend of mine and me drove the car. And my brother was kind of a young man, too, but he did some of the driving. And we went across country over to Sarasota, and it wasn't roads then like we have now. It was just dirt roads with streaks of water, and you get stuck, and all those kind of things. And we went over there to see his sister and the brothers, and she gave me a picture of him. and he had the most beautiful curly hair you ever saw. And I fell in love with that curly hair.
Did you know?
And he didn't even know it.
50-some-odd years.
No, I didn't know it then. But
so how old were you when you got married?
Oh, I was 19.
How old were you?
He was about
you were a little bit older, huh?
He was about 27. He was in service.
He was the older man.
Did you and your daddy used to pack chickens for selling?
No.
Who was that?
We dressed chickens.
Yeah, no. That's it. You dressed chickens.
Dressed chickens. When we got took them to chickens the farmer's from, market in Iowa.
We got chickens from Georgia. Uh-huh. And
were they live when they came in?
Yeah, live. Oh, yeah. And we keep them in the pantry. We got them in good shape. And then we dress them and get them ready to go to Miami on that weekend. And then we had the truck all loaded to go to Miami when the 26th storm came.
The hurricane.
Yes.
Where was this, in Punta Gorda still?
In Fort Lauderdale.
In Fort Lauderdale. Oh, this was a hurricane.
The hurricane.
Right. Oh, the big one.
Yeah, the big one, yes. It tore up all Miami and went right on through Lauderdale. And
did you get hurt?
We didn't get hurt, but my dad said, I hear something. You better go look out the back windows, about the back door and see what you see. I says, Dad, the car's sitting there, but there's no garage over it.
Double garage.
Yeah, it was all blown away in big pieces. No, just come apart in big sections. All in up there.
Well, you all were one of the first ones to ever dress chickens.
Oh, I think so.
Yeah.
And we, all we had a way of just dipping them in water, in cold water, and then dip them in the hot water, and then the feathers came out real easy. And we just messed them up real quick. Hazel's helped to do a lot of this, too.
Do you remember what years that was that you
were doing? Well, Hazel was getting home there long, big enough to hold a chicken, you know, and things like that.
She was
24. Yeah, well, 20. Well, she wasn't old enough for that then. She was born in 24.
Okay, 24. So she was 2 then.
Robert was 23, and she was 24.
Robert was old enough to help us a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Robert was the oldest one.
Yeah, he was the oldest one, but it's like all the boys, can you get him to do something? Hazel would always want, Mom, can I help you? She would always want to help.
Well, when that hurricane hit, did you lose everything?
It blew the garage away, but everything was sitting there on the truck. And those big cans of chickens already dressed. To go to Miami, and you couldn't move the car out of place because the trees were across the road and everything, you know. Yeah, and he had to walk to town and try to get rid of those chickens, two big buckets full. And we had chicken in every pot in the house, and his sister was there and living in the little house in the back. And she had chicken in every pot. She had bread ready for us to take, but she had made bread for us to take to the market. And all that was ready to go to market. Well, it had to be sold or eaten or something, you know. So he went to town, and he couldn't get anybody all the way to town to take anything because they didn't have a way to cook.
Now, electricity, new section, you know, and all electrical work, stoves, electrical.
When he got on down,
electricity was gone.
Got on down to Southside School, and the people were just crowded in there. And they were thrilled to death to get the chicken. And they fed all those people with those chickens.
I went in there and I said, who's in charge of the cooking? Well, she said, come right on in and I'll show you. Of course, I had two buckets of chicken.
Great big 5-gallon buckets, and you carried them all the way to town.
And I walked on in back there. She says, there's the lady there. And I said to her, have you any use for chicken, dressed chicken? And I opened up one of the cans and let her see. Oh, my goodness alive, she said, we sure could. And of course she says, we haven't got any money to pay for anything. I said, no, we don't need to pay for this. And I said, I'm giving this to her. These 2 buckets of chicken. And she says, well, now she says, what can we give you now? She says, we've got a lots of bread. The baker is going to baking already. He said, baking bread, we got lots of bread. I said, no, I said, don't eat any bread, because I said, my sister baked bread for us, baked in my mama, and we got that. Mind you, the light poles, you know, telephone poles and everything, cross like this, across the road.
Oh, dear.
All the way from, we lived 2.5 miles out from the center of town.
Oh, gosh. That must have been something. That really.
And our house just slid off. Well, how this happened. Before this, 26, first part of 1926, he was storm in 26, the first part of 26, we had sold this 5 acres we had, and the fellow next to us had sold it right with mine, and they paid us a big sum of money down, you know, see? And so
they paid you a bunch of money.
when the storm came, Robert was sleeping. The room we had fixed up on the front porch, we had made one end of that front porch out of a bedroom, see? Mm-hmm. And that's where Robert slept. And when the storm came, when that storm came, we had heavy awnings, you know, so you mm-hmm. close it down around the screen, and all that flew out, the bed, you know, the mattress and all flew out, you know, out in the field. Robert had come. And the next night, see, the roof in our house went off mm-hmm. in the box, because, as I said, when we sold that place, we were in a street. And they wanted to move our house over. Well, they moved our house over, but they didn't have it secured like I had. You know what I mean? They just put it on the box. You know, so. And so it just slid off like that. But the biggest damage it did to it was the roofing paper.
Mm-hmm.
All the roofing paper came off. And that night, the next night, Robert, he was sleeping in a cot in the living room. Leaking, you know, see? Leaking through the ceiling. And he said, Mama, Mama, take me in, it's raining. So we had to get him in a place where it wasn't dripping, you know. And it was a funny thing. My dad was living in town then. I'll find him a place in town. We married, and he was living in town. And his house was abandoned, so just most of the roof came off of it. And when when I was in town, I told him about what had happened. Done to us. So he went down to the what those people at service connected. Yeah, funny enough, things don't stay in my head.
I can't think what you mean by that.
Well, not Salvation Army, but the
American Legion.
He went down and talked to the American Legion and told them about that house of mine being run off the block. He said, I want you to do something about it. And bless goodness, here they came out and put that up on the block.
furnish the roofing paper.
Fantastic.
So I didn't cost me a dime.
Really?
Wow.
And when the storm was over with, well, as she said a while ago, we had to, that was on a Friday night. We had this chicken and stuff. Was anybody out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
We had the chicken and stuff, like she said, you know, all ready to go next morning. And, of course, we didn't go. But we managed to feed the neighbors.
Well, you did a good turn.
And, oh, boy, I'm telling you.
Is that when you got out of the chicken dressing business?
No, not quite. We probably need to shut this down.